Let us turn again to the part of God's word read in Isaiah chapter 58. Let us read and consider as enabled the words you will find in verse 13. Isaiah 58, verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on thy holy day, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honourable, and shall honour him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Especially verse 13, and call the Sabbath a delight. To call the Sabbath a delight. Prophet Isaiah has much that would lead to a true spiritual interest in the gospel of the grace of the Son of God, much concerning the Saviour of sinners, his suffering and his death, much concerning the openness of the offer of salvation to sinners. Come now, he says, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He has in the passage before us that teaching concerning the keeping of the Lord's day, the day peculiar to the Lord. All the days of our lives are the Lord's day. They belong to him. We ought to belong to him too. But all are in the Lord's hands. But he has in his infinite mercy towards sinners and in his infinite wisdom among the children of men appointed a particular day and termed the Sabbath day, the day of rest among the children of men. The promises that are given here concerning that Sabbath are with us still. If ye turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. The holy of the Lord, honourable, the Sabbath a delight. Sabbath is the fourth commandment given to Moses on Mount Sinai, related in Exodus chapter 20. And there in that, those Ten Commandments, we are taught to worship God alone, how to worship God, not with graven images, but out of the heart. And to keep God's name honourable, not take it in vain. And we are taught when and what time to give to God. That's the fourth commandment. First four commandments are in relation, our relationship with God. The following six commandments are relationship with man. And in those first four commandments, we are taught these things: who it is we are to worship, who alone we are to worship, how we are to worship, when we are to worship. That worship being the Sabbath day. Well, we notice first of all the entrance to that Sabbath day. He says here, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. There was a necessity laid upon them to consider their ways and to be wise. They had turned their foot away from the Sabbath. Oh, they had an outward regard for it. Just as we read in the earlier part of the chapter here about is this the fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is that what you're doing? You remember when Jesus came, he found them keeping the Sabbath, but it was in such a manner that they were critical of him for performing a miracle on the Sabbath day. And the Lord was rebuked by them, and he in turn rebuked them, that the Sabbath is made for man. And the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath day. They weren't keeping it in the spirit of the Sabbath. They were keeping it as a form or outward keeping of the Sabbath day, which was to their own satisfaction and their own pride. But it wasn't according to the Spirit. They weren't delighting in the Lord's day. They were delighting in their own righteousness and their own keeping of the Sabbath day. They were adding to that sin of the publican, of the Pharisee coming up to the temple and saying, I thank thee, God, that I am not as other men. But that wasn't the spirit in which the Sabbath was to be kept. Far, far from it. Not to the glory of man, but to the glory of God. If thou wilt turn thy foot away from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on thy holy day, well, perhaps in our own day and generation, a second injunction is more applicable. Doing thy pleasure. What suits man? Whatever comes to be done, how shall I enjoy myself on the Lord's day? With what activities can I while away the time? But that's a sin against the law of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is to be kept as the Lord himself has ordained, in spirit and in truth, as all of God's commandment is, to keep the law in the spirit of it and in the truth of it, and by the power of the Holy Ghost to delight in the law of God. May others say, well, in these New Testament days there is no need to have a special day. I can keep all days just as though they were Sabbath days and remember God all my days. So there's no need to have a special day. But that takes no account of the truth of the fall in the heart of man, the sinful nature, the desire. Even before man had fallen in the Garden of Eden, there was a day set apart, and that day was for the consideration of their relationship to God and God's relationship to them and their need of a knowledge of God as created, dependent human nature, human beings. A need of a spiritual dependence upon God. Well, if unfallen man required a special day to consider themselves and to consider God who made them, in whom they lived and moved and had their being, how much more, as far as fallen man is concerned, will ever be our need of keeping the Lord's day? The way into it was not the way of formality, not the way of adopting the day as a day of pleasure. It's not the way of undermining the plain command of God to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, but it was to delight in it in our hearts, to love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and our neighbour as ourselves. Delight thyself in God, and call the Sabbath a delight. Notice a few words concerning the Sabbath itself. The Sabbath means rest, and we first find the Sabbath in the context of creation. When God had created all things in 6 days and all very good, then he rested from his work. He rested from his work on the Sabbath day, the seventh day. And in this way, he set an example for man to rest himself in God and to seek the Lord while he was to be found and to call upon him while he was near. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, the Lord himself has said, particularly concerning the walk of sinners in relation to God himself, that they are to meet particularly and peculiarly on the Sabbath day, and can two walk together unless they be agreed? Are we to dictate to God a day of rest for ourselves or among ourselves when God has plainly set from the very beginning of the world that day of rest, which is the Garden of Eden, Sabbath day? It's a day of completing the work of God. It's a day to contemplate it as God himself did when he saw what he had done, and it was all very good. Psalm 19 records this: the heavens God's glory do declare, the skies his handwork teach. Day utter speech to day, and night to night does knowledge teach. The very beauties of creation, the beauties of the sun shining, rising in the sky, the beauties of stars set in their course in the night sky, the sun and the moon. The psalmist rests his eye upon them all and finds a hymn of praise to God for all of these expressions of the kindness of God, and admiration at his wisdom, admiration at his power, who keeps the earth suspended upon nothing, who keeps the sun in its course, who keeps the order of creation from the very beginning, and his creation, his creative power set forth, he spoke and it was, and has kept him to this very day, and shall do until all days are finished, and the Lord has ordained an end to this world, and the beginning of that judgment day which will mark the end of the world, when he will set his pure white throne in judgment over against man, and every man shall give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. That day calls for us to consider our ways and to be wise, to bow before the power of the God who created the world, that upholds the world, and who demonstrates in the world his wisdom, his grace, his kindness, his power, his mercy. A Sabbath day. But another day came when the Lord himself came into this world. First man, Adam, fell from the estate where he was created by sinning against God, and sin entered in, and decay and strife and death and graves and the prospect of a lost eternity entered in. if God had done beautifully and blessedly and wisely and powerfully the creation of the world, what pain and sorrow, what tears, what heartbreak the first Adam did when he fell from the estate wherein he was created by sinning against God. We learn of the heart of God from creation, his power and his glory. We look at a fallen world and we learn of the sinfulness of sin and the power of sin, the alienation of sin, the authority of sin. But in the fullness of time, in the fulfillment of that promise given to our first parents, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, Jesus came, took to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, was born in Bethlehem, and anointed by the Spirit without measure at his baptism in Jordan by John the Baptist, lived out his days as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and at last bore his cross outside the gates of Jerusalem to that place of a skull, that place where he was numbered among the transgressors, and bore the sins of many. That's the work he had come to do. Just as the Lord himself set himself the work of creating the world at the beginning, and all the sons of the morning sang praises to the greatness and blessedness of that work, so we have here the work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ coming in to do the work of his Father in giving himself, the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God. That was a great work. Men are called to admire the work of creation, to learn of the wisdom of God and the power of God. Here is the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ coming into the world to seek and to save those that are lost, to create a clean heart and a right spirit, to ordain deliverances for Jacob, to appoint a time of blessing in the midst of, instead of the curse, rest instead of the restlessness of sin, rejoicing and delight instead of the pain and sorrow of sin. Christ died between two malefactors. He laid down his life. He bore the sins of many upon himself. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. These are truths of the Word of God concerning the work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that we might admire that work and meditate upon that work and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You see, it's the same thing, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. There's no separating these two. There's no grace if there's ignorance of God. There's no growth in grace unless there's growth in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Just as you would say of a scientist, well, he's got to find out what the laws of the universe are, whatever his special subject is. He's got to keep learning about these things. Otherwise, he's not growing at all. He has ceased in his calling. Well, here is the sinner saved by grace, and here is the wonder and the work and the blessedness and the power and the mercy and grace of God set before us in the person and work of Christ and in the work that he did and the way of growing in grace. Coming to grace first is to come to know him, and growing in grace is to go on knowing him and grow in our knowledge of him. Well, Christ so died, the just for the unjust, numbered among the transgressors, bearing the sins of many, doing the work of the law of his Father. I do always the things that please him. It was the word that effected the wonders of the world. God spoke and it was. Let there be light, there was light. Let the seas be confined, the seas were confined. Let us make man in our own image, man is formed. Let us breathe into him the spirit of life. The spirit of life is breathed into him. He becomes a living soul. It was all by the word of God. Now the miracle of this new creation is all by the word made flesh. The word was with God and was God. And he became flesh. That is, he was born in Bethlehem. A child wrapped in spotless clothes, laid in a manger, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. And he went through this world as you and I are going through this world. Day by day. Incident by incident, experience by experience, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he died as every man born must die. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. It was all done by the word, just as creation itself was brought into being and is upheld by the word of God. It was the word made flesh. It was the second person of the Godhead. It was Christ in our, it was the second person in our nature. It was the word made flesh that formed every realm and every vista and every height and every valley and every breath of life in the realm of salvation. He alone, to him be the glory. Christ is all, Christ is in all. We are to delight ourselves in that day, and you know, you will realize where these thoughts are leading in relation to the Sabbath day. For Christ died according to the scriptures, and his body was laid in the rich man's grave according to the scriptures, and he rose again according to the scriptures. The third day, very early in the morning, he walked among his people. That was the first day of the week. That's the New Testament Sabbath. He had cried upon the cross his last word to a lost world. It was a word of hope to every sinner seeking peace with God. It is finished. There's nothing for a sinner looking for peace with God to bring to that peace. Because it was all done. It was all completed. It was all gloriously effected. Every element, just like the God in Genesis, related in Genesis, having worked for 6 days, then looked at every part and partial of this creation that he had created. It was all there. It was all in place. There was nothing missing, nothing lacking. Look at the heavens above, look at the earth beneath, look at the waters under the earth. It was all as God would have it and as it ought to be. That's what Jesus was saying in the cross concerning the work of salvation. It was all there. No need for the Pharisee to bring his own righteousness. It was all done. Every sense in the publican coming with empty hands. That's an expression of faith in itself. He has done all things well. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I should be whole. He has done all things well. Christ is all, and Christ is in all. He cried, "It is finished," and he dismissed his spirit, and he bowed his head in death. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, making that third day a day to be remembered. A day of life, a day of authority to the word, a day of confirmation. Did he say, what sign did he give that everything he had said was true, and that he was the Son of God, and that he was God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever, and that he was a king, and that he had a kingdom, although that kingdom was not of this world, that he had a purpose in coming into the world, and that was to seek and to save those that were lost, and to lay the foundation of another world, an infinitely glorious world. Men may spend all their days looking into the things of this world, studying the stars, or studying diseases, or studying man himself. But it comes to an end. A few generations later, and they say, "Oh yes, we believed that once, but we don't believe it anymore. We've gone on from that. We've discovered other things, but here is a source of knowledge and of wisdom and of grace and of power that will never be finished. The generations of the Lord's people, having looked into these things by faith, searching out these things, seeking as they do what the Greeks desired at the feast, sirs, we would see Jesus. But there's an eternity still to be seen. There's a blessing forever and ever to be experienced. How great the goodness thou for them that fear thee keepst in store. It is finished," Jesus said. He rose again the third day according to the scripture. It was an affirmation of his own calling into this world and of his own word, which would never fail. "I will give you a sign," Jesus said to the unbelieving Pharisees and scribes. "I will give you a sign. I give you the sign of the prophet Jonas." He was swallowed by the great fish prepared by God, and for 3 days he lay in the belly of this creature, and on the third day, having turned his eye to the temple, "Yet again I will look again to thy holy temple, O Lord. Salvation is of the Lord." And having rediscovered this, the fish vomited him out on the land, and he continued his mission for the Lord. That's a sign. And just as Jesus said, so the third day he rose from the grave and appeared among his people, affirming this by his appearance and his words and is breathing the Spirit upon them, and by the forgiveness that he held out and applied to Peter, he hath appeared unto Peter. The Lord whom he denied appeared unto Peter. The Lord whom he had said he did not know appeared unto Peter. The one whose sin caused him bitter tears, now the Lord appeared unto him. That was a measure of what he had achieved on Calvary, the forgiveness he had wrought out for his people by his own suffering and his own death. Here is a day of rest. That's what it means, a Sabbath prepared, a Sabbath applied, a Sabbath experienced, a Sabbath glorified in, a Sabbath called a delight, not a weariness. We read in the Old Testament of the children of Israel who became in their backslidden state weary of the Sabbath day. The Lord says they were saying, whether they were saying it actually or whether the Lord overheard them saying it in their hearts, when will the Sabbath be ended so that we can trade, make money, carry on with our business? But here is a Sabbath in which sinners are to delight. Delight, they call the Sabbath a delight, and holy of the Lord, honourable, and shall honour him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Call the Sabbath a delight. We have then that Sabbath which is still to be remembered as at the time of creation, and we are to walk in the light of the power and the authority and the wisdom of God in creation, which speaks to us of the work of Christ and the way of salvation, which was by the death of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And we are to rejoice in that salvation for ourselves. It speaks also of the Spirit of God. You remember John banished to the Isle of Patmos for his adherence to the Lord, that he himself said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And being in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he saw wonderful things. Doors opened into heaven above. Saw the Lamb as it had been slain upon the throne. They had no place for Christ as King, no authority as far as they were concerned in his words. Far from being a king, he did not even take cognizance of his words as a man, but despised him. I was a worm and no man. But now he is upon the throne of glory above, eternal in the heavens. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemy thy footstool. Delight thyself in that day. We are to remember the privilege of that day, the day of the Lord. It's a day particularly for the, as far as the soul is concerned. The body, of course, is to have its good part on the Sabbath day. We are to rest from our work. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. The Sabbath is the Lord, the day of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work. That was the Adam at the beginning had his work prescribed for him in tending the garden, but he was to rest from it. And the last day, he was to rest from it. So he needed his rest. We need our rest also. And we are to be occupied in things that will tend to the good of our souls all of that day. Not doing our pleasure on that day. Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. As though the talk of the world was fit conversation for the Lord's day. So the concerns of the world, so the delight in the things of this world was a fit conversation and subject for the Lord's day. Quite the reverse, nor speaking thine own words, finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. But we read in the Word of God that those that feared the Lord spake oft one to another, and the Lord hearkened to it and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. It wasn't the delights of this world that were written in the book that perish with the using. It wasn't the concerns of this world that were written in that book, which pass with the passing day. It was the things of the cause, the kingdom of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The rest that remaineth therefore for the people of God. There was another aspect to the Sabbath day which the Lord brought to the children of Israel in Exodus. The day was to be delighted in because it was a day which reminded them of their covenant with Him. They were to delight in that covenant. There was much to delight in because the Lord in His mercy had chosen them. He had brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the oppression of it, from the power of it, from the authority of it, from the likely end of it, which was the death of the Jewish nation. That's what Pharaoh designed at any rate. As they were brought out of it by the blood of the Paschal Lamb, by the wisdom of God. There was much to remember and consider and turn over in our minds and turn into a prayer to God, a prayer of praise. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The greatness and the power and the authority and the warmth of the heart of God towards them. They were to remember that. It's a sign of a covenant. When two men make an arrangement for something to be done and one man is to do it for another man for a certain wage or a certain reward, then both are engaged. Both are entered into this covenant. But in the bringing forward of this covenant of grace, it was entirely of the Lord's doing. What better time to remember that than the Lord's day? This is the great work that God did toward His people. He entered into a covenant of grace with them. This is the covenant I will make with you in those days, saith the Lord. I will take away the heart of stone, I will give the heart of flesh. I will write my law upon your heart, and ye shall say unto me, Thou art our God. And I will say unto you, Ye are my people, saith the Lord. The whole of the transaction of the covenant of grace underwritten by the word of God, saith the Lord. Back to that word by which the world was created, the word who came in God's great name to save, and who finished that great and glorious and blessed work, costing him so many tears and so many sighs, so much sorrow, a man of sorrows, as if he was a man given over to sorrow, as if he was a man separated to sorrow. That word, thus saith the Lord. The one who died on Calvary, the one who rose again the third day according to the scriptures, the one who was waiting for Stephen at the time of his martyrdom as the first Christian martyr, and Stephen, whose face became like the face of an angel, was saying that he saw the Lord Jesus standing in heaven, waiting for him. Thus saith the Lord. Well, it's a day especially to remember that covenant, the terms of it, the blessedness of it, that God would send his own Son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, that he might die in order to secure that covenant of grace. That's what is at the heart of the remembrance of the death of Jesus. Until he come, the Lord's people sitting at the table of the Lord, they're given the bread, the broken bread. They're given the wine, the poured out wine. The bread is broken because Christ died as a remembrance of the death of Jesus. It is bread that is set before them because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Take this in remembrance of me. In like manner he took the cup after he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, the New Covenant in my blood. This do ye in remembrance of me, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death until he come. The death of the Word, the sealing of the Word by the blood of the Word, and irrefutably sealed in a manner that cannot be recalled or undermined. The gates of hell shall never prevail against it. A sealed covenant by the Word himself. And that's the remembrance we have at the death of the death of Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. And the Lord's Day is peculiarly associated with this. For they were to remember the Old Testament church in the wilderness was to remember the covenant that he had made with them, the blessed terms of it, the largeness of it, the appropriateness of it, that it was all by way of salvation resting upon him. It was he who had appeared to Moses in the wilderness. It was the I Am who had said, Go and tell them they are to be set free. Go and tell them and bring them out to this place that I might speak to them, meet with them here. Here I will meet with you. is all of the Lord. The power of their deliverance. What a marvel it was in itself. Pharaoh having all the power as far as the eye of man is concerned. His armies were feared by nations around him who had their own army. And here was a nation that had no army and no soldiers and no power to fight in and of itself. But the Lord had the lamb killed and the blood put upon the doorpost and the lintels. And in the morning they were delivered. The angel of death passing through the land with a drawn sword, entering in and taking away the firstborn. The blood already had been upon the door, and that house, and that family. Blood already shed, a life already given. Justice already satisfied. Aye, the more they would ponder this law on a Sabbath day, the more they would rest in it and be satisfied with it. Moses kept the Passover by faith. He remembered that law and he rested upon it. It was a picture of the coming of Christ. Lost and ruined sinners could do nothing. But here is the word of good news to those who are bound over by the power and authority of sin. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has satisfied divine justice on behalf of his people. Christ's sacrifice has been accepted. He rose from the grave for our justification. And he is at God's right hand. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the call of salvation on a Sabbath day. Remember the covenant. Remember what kindness the God of Israel showed to Israel in drawing them. Delight thyself in the Sabbath day, the Sabbath a delight, the whole of it from beginning to end, reminding us of that sure and certain covenant, which is the basis for the only rest that man might have. The Sabbath a delight. Well, my friend, what do you see of it? It's a market day for the Spirit of God. Just as you have from time to time, people come here and set up their markets down in Stornoway. And people go and they buy and they pay their money and go away with their goods. The Spirit has a market day. You may go one day and there's nobody there and they say, well, this isn't the market day. It was last week. They've gone. As far as the Sabbath day is concerned, it's the market day for the Holy Spirit. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We are to come with a sense of our need, with a willing heart. You know, if you go down to the marketplace, but you have no money and take no money, well, it's very likely you'll come away with having nothing. Well, the sinner comes with a mere formal view of the Sabbath day, taking nothing of a desire, nothing of a willingness, nothing of a felt lack, nothing of an earnest desire to know the truth as it is in Jesus. If they say, well, this is what I do, I go to church on Sabbath, there's an end of it. I've come. That's the end of it. That's a spirit in which there is no blessing from the Sabbath day. It's a formal view of this day in the week and the exercises of that day. But blessed are the hungry, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are those who have committed their ways to God. We ought to, all of us, before coming to the house of God on the Sabbath day, committed our ways to God, pray that He Himself would bless it. Pray for that spirit which is blessed. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they who have a regard to the covenant of life, of which the Sabbath is a reminder. To meditate upon this. To them, this day is a blessed day, a delight, for all of these expectations are to be found answered, satisfied. He will satisfy the longing soul with good things, satisfied in the terms set for us. You might go to the market and have money in your pocket and wish to buy something, but you don't find it there. You come away empty-handed because it wasn't there. But no sinner ever seeking the Lord went away from the Word without some knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus. No request, no desire going unanswered, no request going unrewarded. Yea, all that I do desire is still before thine eyes, and of my heart the secret groans not hidden are from thee. None came to Christ in the New Testament scriptures, but they were heard. That was the mark of the Messiah that Jesus gave to John's disciples. Go and tell John, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the poor, to the poor the gospel is preached. To the poor the gospel is preached. They rest upon the riches of Christ. Christ is their all and their in all. Therefore they may be poor in this world, but they have riches with God. And treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, nor thieves break through nor steal. We commend that covenant to you. You may examine it as much as you wish. You may meditate upon it as much as you will. It's assured, it's certain, it's full, it's overflowing with the mercy of God. There's an eternity of satisfaction and security in it. Verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honourable, and shall honour him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us pray. eternal and ever blessed One, grant us grace to call upon Thy name, take us to our homes in safety, come out with us in the evening. May we have grace to honour Thy day. May it be a day of delight, spiritual delights for us. For Jesus' sake, Amen.